John, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
So, John, what could a Border Force system without passports or any kind of e-kiosk potentially look like?
Look, I guess there's a couple of layers to that answer. So for the aim for the experience of the traveller, which is what everyone's really interested in, is there's a range of countries trying to work this out. So what they want you to be able to do is this, is hop on a plane. So in my case, leaving Dubai this morning, you know, you hop on a plane, check in, you arrive in Sydney International Airport, you walk off the plane, you go down, and the majority of people, you pick up your bags and go straight out and head home. So that's the user experience that everyone is trying to, I guess, race towards. The challenge, of course, is the technology and the global acceptance of that.
Well, we've already got that the scanner that you walk in that, you know, it can look under all your clothing pretty much. Do you think we'll see something like that?
Look, it's not so much that. What they're trying to do is it's all about identity. Unfortunately, there are some extremely unique features to everybody's face, and the science is well advanced now. So they can, on the move, you can walk through, and a camera can take a photo of you, and in near real time, it can match the biometrics online to a given identity. Now, the challenge, of course, is that you still need an international and a global standard for identity. But certainly in the realms of possibility is this, is you can use that sort of biometrics for Australian citizens arriving home, and I think that's probably the next step. We won't quite say goodbye to passports yet, but certainly the need to pull them out and use them when you're coming home may quickly evaporate.
Well, going on to the idea of biometrics, to be able to have continuity between all the different countries, I would assume you would have to share this biometric data with pretty much every single country in the world. How do you mediate privacy concerns regarding the collection and storage of this biometric data?
Look, I personally think that's a $64 million question, and this is one that we'll all have to come to terms with. And it's one that I guess we, in government circles, they need to think about, which is this, you know, Apple products came out a little while ago, and I'm a big user of them, and, you know, I'm willing to give up my biometrics in terms of my fingerprint to Apple on the basis that it makes, you know, I can use my phone to make payments. So in my equation, I see value for giving up that little bit of privacy for the convenience that it allows. And I think that a universal system needs to be opt-in and opt-out, and there needs to be a very strong argument of what the convenience and what the safety and requirements will be around that. And I think that's one of the issues that is really a stumbling block. It's less the technology and more getting people along. Now, I've made this sort of discussion over the last 6 months in a lot of my work, which is that, you know, organisations like Home Affairs in Australia really need to engage the public a whole lot more and provide explanations of why things are done and how risks are managed.
Right. Kind of going on from this, about this trust of privacy, now, human technology is often biased in the building of artificial intelligence technology. Just from memory, there was a gender and racial bias found in Amazon's facial recognition technology that came out a few months ago. Can we really trust AI in the airports more than a Border Force official in this regard?
Well, again, this is one of those big ethical questions. I'm in Dubai at the moment at an event called AI Everything. And one of the underlying questions there is about the ethics of biometrics and the ethics of artificial intelligence. And certainly there are quickly based on, and I'll give you an example in a second, you know, it can be very, very biased and it's not perfect. So for instance, an artificially intelligence driven car last year accidentally killed someone in the US. Secondly, you know, it's a very basic example, but for instance, if an artificial intelligence unit that was used to do targeting at the border, so if on a given day a number of drug smugglers were found to have red shirts on or red jackets, an AI could if not managed by human interaction, could very well come to the conclusion that people wearing red shirts have a higher risk of being drug smugglers. And I think this is one of the concerns of our government. So certainly there was an announcement in the last couple of weeks by Home Affairs in which no decisions on visas would be made without human intervention. And I think that is around the concerns of you know, how biased or not an AI might be.
Mm. Well, have either of the two major political parties here in Australia indicated their attitude towards a potential implementation of this biometric security here in Australia?
No, look, I think both of them are supportive of what Home Affairs and the bureaucrats are trying to plan, which is to create a touchless passport entry. Both major political parties would engage with the reality of what border agencies face from a budgeting sense and from a transaction sense. So every year, the number of travellers leaving and coming to Australia, the amount of packages is exponentially arising. At the same time, budgets in terms of organisations like the Australian Border Force aren't growing. So in order to provide security, they need to find a smarter way to manage people coming and going and goods coming in and out. And that needs to be cost effective for users. So the question here is that technology is all but inevitable in part of solving this realistic problem. Finding the right technology is important, but also engaging with the public and providing those sorts of explanations and having this sort of discussion are critical to getting people on board. The days of bureaucracy just forcing public into certain arrangements with the explanation of, well, it's for national security, I think are well and truly past.
Mm. Well, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of technology they do develop to kind of handle all of these issues that keep arising. Dr. John Coyne, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.